is something that I've talked about. His influences and mentorship come from Jacques Lemaire, who I've had tremendous respect for. And we know that for the Ottawa Senators to win and to win the playoffs, we need to play better defensive hockey.
That is the new general manager of the Ottawa Senators, Pierre Dorion. Once upon a time, a member of the Canadiens family for about a decade on the scouting side, introducing the new coach of the Ottawa Senators, Guy Boucher, who once upon a time was a member of the Canadiens family as the coach of the Hamilton Bulldogs.
There will be obvious potential for growth and potential for success. And it is it a great challenge that I'm being given? C'est un défi extraordinaire que j'ai très, très hâte de relever. Well, put simply, I just can't wait to start. I'm more hungry than ever.
Sounds like you'd get along well with Mark Bergevin, doesn't it? With Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick until 7, then it's Raptors in Miami. Our coverage begins right after the show at 7. We just had Bruce Arthur on from Miami. And we'll also have some tickets to give away to see Sugar Sammy as his time in Montreal is running out before he heads to Paris. And Lorne Rubin, Sports Business, Gallo's three throwaways. But as always, every Monday at this time, fresh off the set of The Reporters, which was missing Arthur today. Michael Farber, how you doing?
Well, we had to muddle through without him. We had Dave Naylor and Dave Festchuk. Steve Simmons was also in Miami. So I was the lone holdover.
Oh, so this is a big deal, this Raptors Heat series, huh?
Well, apparently, yeah. It's, so they say. No, actually, it is a very big deal. And the Raptors have been the team that just couldn't get over the hump. And it's true of so many franchises. There's a certain narrative that this is who you are, and then something happens and you're no longer that team. We're watching it now at the San Jose Sharks in the NHL playoffs, and maybe we're watching it with the Raptors.
Well, let me carry on with this, even though I wasn't planning to do it. And we discussed the anthem flap with Bruce, but there is the belief out there that, and it would be great either way for them to go to the Eastern Final and take on LeBron and the Cavs, even in a losing effort, they'd learn a lot. But Bruce is of the belief that they could actually give Cleveland a real tough time. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. Not if Cleveland's making 25, 21, and then 16 three-pointers as they did to close out that series. I don't see how they guard LeBron James. If they can penetrate the Cavs and then kick out and then shoot that well, I don't see it happening. But I think they can play with them. I don't think they can beat them. One side note on the anthem, Mitch. Do you know when anthems started in sports in North America?
I'm going to guess World War II.
No, actually, World War One or post-World War One. It started at Fenway Park, the brand new Fenway Park, in 1919. And that's when people decided it was a good idea. And I'm just find it a goofy idea most of the
no
time.
No kidding. There are some patriots out there who almost demand it, right?
But I don't see the connection between sports unless it's a national team.
Yeah, an international event. I don't get it. I don't get it myself. It's a
well, if Whitney Houston's going to sing it at the Super Bowl, put me down for a yes.
Okay. And if Jimi Hendrix is going to play it at Woodstock, put me down for a yes.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, how about Guy Boucher? We have touched on him a little bit. I'm going to, again, suggest that you're not his biggest fan. If I have misunderstood you, please correct me.
No, I like Guy Boucher. He's really smart. But he also burns out players because he is so intense. Guy Boucher was always going to win the interview because there's nobody better prepared and no one as hungry as Boucher for this. And he won the press conference. I think that's pretty clear. He is a disarming guy because he is so conspicuously bright. I really like Guy Boucher. I wonder how long Guy Boucher can operate at 110 RPMs, and that's what he does. And the first year he was in Tampa, I was around that team a fair bit for whatever reason, and they were enthralled by the guy. By the end of the second year, they wanted to shove him off a cliff because he just demands that much. And their coaches who are demanding in the NHL, Mike Babcock grinds. I mean, he really grinds guys. Ken Hitchcock grinds guys. And Ken Hitchcock sort of has a shelf life. We know he's operating on a one-year deal that I was surprised he got this year because players were just tired of him in St. Louis. But he's managed to hold it together. And Mike Babcock, because he is acknowledged as a great coach had it together, although at the end, Zetterberg and Datsyuk were both absolutely fed up with him. So we'll see how long it lasts. But I'm a Boucher fan. And what I liked what the Canadians were doing when they had him, they were grooming him. Now somebody swept in and hired him off, Tampa, Steve Yzerman. But I think it's really important for you to know who your minor league coach is and groom him for the job. And we've talked about this before, something I don't see we're getting now from Mark Bergevin with the team that was in St. John's.
Yeah, there's, I mean, again, no disrespect, and I don't know them, and I'm not down there watching that team, and I know there are philosophical beliefs that the organization has that they want the same systems applied down there as here. But I don't think, and you would know this better than I, around the league, nobody is about to hire Sylvain Lefebvre or Donald Dufresne in the for the National Hockey League.
No, and Sylvain Lefebvre might be a really good coach and assistant coach. Help with your D. He did that in Colorado for a while and was well thought of. But he's not head coach material. And given the, shall we say, parameters of the job of head coach of the Montreal Canadiens, you need to be grooming somebody down there right now.
So, did the Canadiens miss the boat here on Boucher and or Crawford?
I would say no, because they just looked at Boucher, and unlike the way Boucher looks at, say, Erik Karlsson, they saw the flaws rather than the good things that Boucher did. When they looked at Crawford, and again, Mark Crawford's kind of a friend of mine, and I have great respect for him, and I actually like him, but he didn't have great success in Dallas or L.A. in some of his later stops. Yeah, he won a cup, but that's a couple decades ago when he won with the Colorado Avalanche, the former Nordique team, in their first year in that city. So, I wasn't enamored of Therrien, but to say that they absolutely missed the boat by not hiring either of these guys, I don't think you can, because Crawford's recent track record hadn't been great. Talking about winning the press conference, that wasn't going to happen with Mark Crawford, as it doesn't happen with Michel Therrien. So I'm not sure what the value added was there, although I do know that Mark Crawford was of great interest to Mark Bergevin, and there were other people in that organization who thought they should go in a different direction.
Hmm. So I'm curious that if Mark Crawford takes a job as an associate coach in Ottawa, would he have taken in a similar position with the Montreal Canadiens?
Good question. I don't know. Clearly, they wanted to keep the gang together for reasons that escape me. I think they could have freshened up that staff. You and I talked about it. I thought Mike Yeo might be here. He was Therrien's assistant in Pittsburgh. They were very close. It didn't work out for Yeo in Minnesota, but I thought he would surface here. Clearly, Therrien's comfortable with what he has, and Bergevin's comfortable as well.
So let's move ahead to next year, and if they scuffle out of the gate, it's not going to be 9-0 if they're healthy. But they scuffle a little bit, and they need to make the playoffs next year. Yeah. If Bob Hartley doesn't get hired, is he the next candidate because he's Bob Hartley?
Well, they haven't been wild about Bob Hartley in the past. Bob Hartley didn't think he'd ever be back in the NHL. He told me once the only place he would get a job or might get a job was Calgary, because at the time Jay Feaster, with whom he was very close, and they worked together in the minor leagues in Hershey in the Colorado system, would hire him. He says, I don't think anyone else would hire me. Now, has Bob Hartley body of work in Calgary earned him a shot at another job? Maybe. But you don't want to be in a situation where you're just kind of fishing around. And this is where I go back to the original point. They have to do a better job of identifying and grooming the next head coach. Because, as you know, Mitch, there's always a next head coach.
Okay, so on that point, the fact that they haven't gone that far, is that an indication that there is some insecurity somewhere, or is it a sign that just being on the same page trumps all?
I don't know. Fair question. I really don't know. I imagine that there is some insecurity, and that's something you never want to see. You want to bring in the highest quality people. This is what Babcock did with the Olympic team. He wanted Jacques Lemaire. Babcock isn't threatened by smart people around him. He wants better people. And imagine the pressure next year when the Ottawa Senators are maybe trumping the Montreal Canadiens, because it's not a very good division, and lots can happen. And the Senators were a playoff team the year before, albeit through some miraculous work by an unknown goalie. But still, they were there. There's some decent pieces there. And Boucher has a galvanizing effect in the short term. So then people are going to say, well, hey, this guy, he was here, and why isn't he here now? So I think the pressure might only be ratcheted up.
I think Guy Boucher will coach the Montreal Canadiens, but not until he's in his 50s. Finishing up with Michael Farber, he will be a seasoned experienced coach in both official languages. The Tampa Bay Lightning made short work of the Detroit Red Wings. They made just a short work of the New York Islanders. They now get time to rest up for another trip to the Eastern Conference Final, and they've done it without Steven Stamkos and Anton Stralman, for that matter. Have people undersold the Lightning?
I don't think so, because if you look at the Red Wings and you look at the Islanders, I don't think you see the 77 Canadiens, do you?
No, I thought that what has happened would happen.
Yeah, and the Red Wings, somebody in that organization said, our Stanley Cup this year is winning around. And that's how low expectations were. And yeah, I kind of like some of the things that the Islanders have. But they were playing Thomas Greiss in goal, and there are still some holes in that team that are only going to get bigger, by the way, because of a couple of three important free agents, and then they're probably going to have to move Hamonic. So you're going to be presumably without Pozo, without Matt Martin, and without Franz Nielsen, and you're going to have to trade Hamonic. So that seems to have hit a wall in Brooklyn. So, yeah, I don't think we've undersold Lightning. Stralman is a really good defenseman. He's second best on that team behind Hedman. And Stamkos, I think what's fascinating is with Stamkos is he costing himself money if he wants to re-sign in Tampa? Because if the Lightning can get to a conference final without him, albeit against fairly weak competition, and then say, get to a Stanley Cup final, how do you justify, if you're Steve Yzerman, paying Stamkos $10 million a year when you've got a tassel of young players you're going to need to take care of? You're going to have to make that judgment. Now, long-term, this isn't costing Yzerman money because somebody's going to want him. He's a terrific scorer, good captain, well thought of around the league, and he's going to be the centerpiece for somebody if it's not Tampa Bay. But I wonder if you're looking at the decimal points in Tampa and you see the success of the team without Yzerman this year, and the fact that Yzerman played a secondary role last season, which caused some friction between Yzerman and the coach, John Cooper, you wonder, well, maybe our dollars could be better spent.
Finishing up with Michael Farber, on the court when you were both around 30,
yeah.
Who was better, you or Bruce Arthur?
Well, Bruce Arthur is like 6'3", and I used to be 5'10". I'm now 5'9". That happens when you get older.
Pretty soon you'll be in Allen Iverson territory, Michael.
Well, you know what? That's Bruce's game. But I wish, if you said it was a tennis court, I would have taken my chances.
Have a great week. Always fun. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
He wants to play 30 minutes a night. He wants to be out there probably even more than that. But he's on our power play. He's on the penalty kill. He covers so much ice. He shuts down Tavares in our series, who I think is one of the world class player, one of the best in the league. And he was gapped up on him. He didn't give him a sniff really. And it was pretty fun to watch, just him cover all that ice. And then when he got the puck, he just took off. He'd start the rush. He was creating offense for us, as you've seen with the, I think he had 8 points or something in the series from our back end. And it was a huge performance by him.
You guys know where Tom Petty is from?
Is it Gainesville?
It is Gainesville, Florida. And by the way, Running Down a Dream by Peter Bogdanovich, one of the great documentaries ever made about a musician or a group, came out a few years ago. That was Brian Boyle, who's clearly going to be in the broadcast booth if he wants it when his career is over. It's far from over. With Knuckles Nylund and Sean Campbell earlier today on Off the Cuff, talking about Victor Hedman. It's been fun watching Victor Hedman, huh?
Well, you know what? If you want to pick a defenseman and try to mold other defensemen after that guy, like, there's a lot of great offensive defensemen, but Victor Hedman's the guy who does everything well. He doesn't overwhelm you offensively the way maybe Carlson and Subban do, but if you look at him positionally, physically, takeaways, passing the puck, power play, penalty kill, he does everything so well.
I think Michael wanted to talk about Bartolo Colon, but everybody wants to talk about Bartolo Colon today, including Lorne Rubin, who's got a business angle to it next. On Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690.
My son taking his grandmother's urn to school for show and tell? I didn't see that one coming. But the guy who suddenly slammed on the brakes in front of me on the highway? You bet your pants!